Welcome to this week's Vegan Family Podcast. This week we're talking Veg Week 2019. So every year, Compassion Over Killing's Veg Week campaign runs in the spring. And we say, look, there are 52 weeks in a year. Why not make one of them meat-free?
That's right. Stay. Yeah. What's that?
And hopefully people stay meat-free.
I know. That's the idea behind Veg Week, right? It's a national and increasingly international campaign empowering thousands of people to pledge to choose vegan foods for at least 7 days as a way to discover the many benefits and flavors of vegan eating. Every time we choose a meat-free meal, as we know, we can protect our health, the planet, and the animals.
So last year we received a record 9,300 plus pledges, and this year we have a goal of getting up over 10,000.
Yes, and we should mention the dates. It starts on April 22nd this year. April 22nd, 2019 is the beginning of Veg Week. And have you pledged Veg Week? Let us know. Send us an email at veganfamily@tryveg.com. Also, if you have any ideas for upcoming episodes, we'd love to hear from you. Any feedback we're looking for right now, we want to know you're out there. So we will be back in a flash right after this.
It's time for Compassion Over Killing's Vegan Family Podcast with your hosts, Eric C. Lindstrom and Cheryl Leahy.
And we're back. So, how are you doing?
I am good. I'm hanging in there. You and I have been having conversations about daylight savings, which just happened. And so everybody's a little bit draggy right now, but we adjust and it's all good.
Yeah. Yeah. I literally had to drag my children out of bed.
And you don't want to have to. It's like you need this school that opens on flexible hours, like some kind of flex time hour. Somewhere between 8 and 9, you could drop them off.
Well, it's like this weird, bizarro world because normally they're the ones, you know, jumping up and down on top of me to wake me up.
Yeah, yeah.
And then I did make the argument because that was 2 days ago. Or yesterday morning. So then last night I tried to kind of reason with them and be like, remember how tired you were? You should go to sleep now. But of course that didn't really work.
Yeah. And also, I mean, of course, trying to get them to sleep at 5 o'clock or 6 o'clock when it's still bright out, you know, because they are tired. It's an adjustment.
My world is totally different from that. My kids don't go to bed until after like, well, my younger one won't go to bed until after like 10:30.
Oh my God.
My older one, if he wasn't being bugged by his little brother, would probably go to bed more like 9:30. It's a whole like little circus we have trying to get everybody to bed. Because, you know, especially I was like, look, the clocks are changing. You know, this sort of like we tried to start earlier to kind of get a jump on it, but then it backfired because they obviously weren't tired. So then they're like, you know, if you like force yourself to like lay down when you have like all this like jittery energy,
yeah,
like
yeah,
makes it worse. So
well, we have a routine. We have a routine here, and the older one is asleep by 8 every night.
Good.
Yeah, because he's running full speed since, you know, 5 or 6 in the morning anyway. And then the littler one, she'll make it until about 9 and then pass out. So, yeah, I mean, that's the only hours I feel like I get to myself is after they're asleep. So I can't imagine having them up much later than that anyway.
No, I need more sleep than they do. So there you go. All right. So working on limited brain cells here today. So we did get some really interesting feedback. And one question I really liked. So the question is kid outing things, for instance, zoos, farm parks, horse rides at festivals, et cetera, would be helpful. Mm. Yeah. It would be helpful to not have not only suggestions for good alternatives, but how to appropriately explain why we won't participate in those events to both the kids and non-vegan adults.
Yeah. You know what, Cheryl, this sounds like a great idea for an upcoming episode. We could stretch that out for a full episode because there's so much to talk about. I mean, just the differences between a zoo and a farm sanctuary, for example, or what you do say when you're, you know, showing up at a fair or a festival and they're giving pony rides, or how, you know, is a petting zoo okay? You know, that these goats perhaps were traveled around the country in the back of a, you know,
right,
long bed truck, just to be fed some food from a vending, you know, from a little gumball machine all day. You know, these things seem like okay, like these animals are being treated well, and they never are. And then again, where are they being treated well? Where can you take your kids that you know that the animals are truly living out the rest of their lives?
Well, you know, I think this is a hard one even for me, because it's hard to know exactly where to draw the line. Like my go-to, and I've sort of mentioned this on the podcast, is like, is any money coming out of my pocket you know, support any of this? But I don't know about you, but especially in the spring and summer months around where I live, there's so many like city like festivals and street fairs and things like that, and these petting zoos just like pop up in them. And so yeah. I never want to, you know, I'll never like take the kids in there and have them like, you know, pay to whatever. But, you know, if they stick their hands in the bars, I guess that's something. I will say that, you know, we'll never go to a zoo or an aquarium or anything. The kids seem to be much more, it's very clear to them, and they're very on top of it with very little prompting, if at all, that, hey, you know, these animals don't want to be in cages. Like that's really straightforward.
That's what, you know, I have, in full disclosure here, the zoo in Washington, D.C. Is free.
Yeah.
So I'm not using that as an excuse to say this is why we brought our kids. We brought our kids because we were doing everything we could do over, let's say, a week period in the nation's capital, which, by the way, all of the museums are outstanding. All are free. It's just an incredible city to visit with kids any time of the year. And so last time we were down there, we decided, it's a vegan family of four, and again, I'm sort of like confessing here a little bit, we decided to take them to the zoo. I had never been. I haven't been to a zoo in, you know, decades probably. And we thought, you know, this could be an interesting way to see what their perception is, or what they take away from the zoo, or ultimately opportunities to see things that we've been reading about. So I can tell you with all honesty that both kids, you know, five and under, felt really sad pretty much the whole time. And not that's what I was shooting for, but when you see, I felt incredibly sad when you see these amazing animals in these very small enclosures, knowing they don't belong there, knowing that that's their, you know, prison for the rest of their lives. It's pretty depressing. And so, you know, we left after a couple of hours and we asked them, what did they think? And they both just willingly admitted that it was very, very sad. It wasn't, you know, like a fun outing. It wasn't a fun event. It was more or less like this opportunity that they got to see why we are opposed to zoos. So, you know, I wouldn't go again. I certainly wouldn't take them to an aquarium. And as you say, I wouldn't slap down $50 a ticket for any of this. But it was a chance for them to, for us to know what they felt about,
zoos. You know, it's interesting because, you know, there's sort of a tension in my mind between give them more experiences and let them sort of process it through and talk more about it. You know, I've said that before, that I think that the sort of general guiding rule should be more discussion, you know, rather than less. But I think, you know, I'm sort of persuaded by this idea that there's something really sort of insidious about displaying these animals that are part of you know, they're part of this long natural history and this great ecosystem, and they have their own sort of, you know, thoughts and feelings and goals and purposes in life. And then we just sort of put them in a box and put them on display. It's sort of, it has that sort of dystopian feeling to me. You know, unless you really, it sounds like your kids really sort of viscerally felt that. And my kids too. It's you know, maybe this is like a kid's thing that they just kind of, you know, as long as they're not prevented from feeling this by being told that it's wrong or by, you know, these environmental cues, that they kind of get it. But I am persuaded by this idea that like, you know, participating in that sort of theater, that sort of display of dominance, you know, is something that reinforces that kind of exploitation. And I think that, you know, it's worth, if you are going to go to, you know, say a free zoo, or like, for example, in LA, some of the museums, you know, that are free also have animals in them. So it's like, well, it's not that we're not going to go to a museum, but we're going to talk about, like, you know, what's over here. So, you know, these are sort of fuzzy questions. And then the issue of how do you sort of educate? And I, honestly, you know, what I should brush up on some of these traveling petting zoos type operations, because I know from years ago that a number of them, from work that I did before I was at COK, a number of that kind of operation, those animals are in trailers, like these traveling circuses, for example. These animals are in trailers like 50 weeks of the year or something. So I think part of how to explain it and how to talk to adults and kids about it is like maybe just educating ourselves about, like, okay, what are the top like five problems when it comes to how these animals are treated, and then the sort of bigger picture principle about, you know, hey, we're not like, you know, these animals are not here just to kind of, you know, be dragged around and then poked and prodded at and stared at, you know.
Yeah, it's, again, I think that I just wrote a note that we should do an episode on this, because there's so much to unpack here, and there's so much to sort of discuss, because it's, and maybe we'll find a guest. It would be wonderful to have a guest, maybe from Farm Sanctuary on here to talk about.
Yeah, because the sanctuary stuff is so lovely, right? Like, you get this icky feeling talking about the, you know, the petting zoos and those pony rides that have the spoke and the wheel, to me is just such a metaphor for the, like, just depressing grind these animals are.
Yeah, I know. And to think that how many out of today's kids, you know, 10 and under, are looking at that saying, that's so sad. And how many of them are jumping up and down and saying, "Wee, I can't wait to ride one."
And how many of those kids, like, if somebody just took a second, you know, and sat with them for a minute, and asked them, like, what do you think those ponies are feeling right now? How many of those kids would just immediately, that would come to the surface? Like, they may just not be thinking about it. I think there's some, you know, some pretty strong kind of psychological architecture there, you know, that people we just need a little bit of sensitization. But I will say, sanctuaries, I mean, is such a contrast to that icky feeling. It's so, you know, amazing. And every time that I've taken the kids to a sanctuary, or myself or my adult niece, it's just been this like amazing magical experience.
So let's definitely jot that down. Let's take this into a longer episode at some point, maybe this coming summer when the weather's gets nicer where I live, and Farm Sanctuary in Watkins Glen opens for the season. I actually met someone just last night at a talk who's working at the Farm Sanctuary here in Watkins Glen or near Ithaca, and she's invited me to come out. So I definitely want to get out there when the weather warms up, and that might be a nice way to segue, or maybe invite Susie Costin to be a guest, someone from that organization, to talk about that side of it and what it means for kids, you know, what it means for young people to learn about how these animals are, in fact, living out their full life expectancy, and how they're living in a peaceful environment, how they don't have to be fearful of what's happening in just unbelievable numbers around the world in factory farming and animal agriculture. So, yeah, I do think, as you said, sitting down, taking a couple of minutes to remind people about what's actually taking place or what they're looking at, and how these animals are not ours to abuse or to use for entertainment or display.
And, you know, the really thing that you miss when your kind of only way to engage with animals is in this sort of exploitative context is what these animals are really like. And I think that's the thing about sanctuaries that can be so amazing. Like, I remember taking my niece and my kids, and my niece is not vegan, but she's sort of a social justice activist, to a sanctuary, and it was raining. And they had, we kind of came upon this like forested area, and there was just a bunch of horses there. And it was like, we all were like, wow, this is the most like sort of magical thing. I mean, you're used to engaging with horses, right? But normally, you know, you see horses and they're kind of like in a stall, or they're tied up or whatever, and they're just kind of one-on-one. But it felt like we were like entering their world, and they were like so curious and just kind of, you know, really enveloped us and kind of like, it was like a fantasy novel kind of thing. And we all on the drive back were like, wow, those horses. And you can't believe that. I mean, it's like you've seen horses a million times in your life, but it's something different about really knowing like who that animal is and what they're really like that you don't get in these other contexts. So Sanctuary's really, really awesome. Yeah.
Well, that's great. Thank you, Jill, for that suggestion and topic and good conversation. So on to the rest of this episode's subject is Veg Week, which is coming up this year. It is April 22nd through the 28th. It coincides with Earth Day. And so Compassion Over Killing hosts Veg Week. And as you said in the intro, this past year, there was over 9,300 pledgers, people who are either omnivores, vegetarians, even vegans. We want all of you to take the veg pledge for the week of April 22nd through 28th and take animals off your plates.
And there's a lot of support for throughout the week.
Yes,
as part of this campaign.
That's the best part. Yeah, so there's endorsers, there's sponsors, there's emails of support that you get along the way. There's a lot going. There will be a lot going on website and social media, all in support of Veg Week. And so, yeah, you do end up getting some wonderful videos from Jess Carter, the vegan food and lifestyle coach for Compassion Over Killing. She does some wonderful recipe videos and cooking videos. You get recipes in your emails. You get a ton of manufacturer discounts sent to you for products, for vegan products. And it's just an incredible way to either go take that extra step. If perhaps you're a vegetarian and you want to try vegan for a week, this is the best way to do it. If you know someone who you would like to have join you on your vegan journey, ask them to pledge, ask them to sign up for this. And then there's celebrities that get behind this. I mean, it's just a wonderful annual campaign that really does help, you know, support veganism.
Yeah, and, you know, bringing this to the sort of family topic, how do we get more families to try veganism? Is there more, are there more challenges? Is there a different way that you talk to them? How do you do that in your life?
Yeah, well, we, you know, again, as you know, I've got two kids that we're raising vegan, and I use them as an example as often as possible of the, you know, just sort of removing the myth about healthy eating and healthy lifestyles associated with a meat-free diet. So we become our own sort of ongoing sales pitch. We become this family that proves at parties. We just, in fact, had a birthday party for our older son. He just turned 6, which is amazing.
Happy birthday.
Yes. And of course, he's the one who's solid muscle and can lift a Volkswagen over his head. So he had a party of probably 12 kids, and all of the snacks were 100% vegan. Of course, we had this amazing cake. We're lucky to have this cake bakery near us that makes these beautiful gluten-free and vegan cakes. So pretty much all of the snacks, everything that's out, everything these kids are eating during this entire party is allergen-free, is meat, you know, meat-free, dairy-free, and egg-free. And of all of the kids that are there, our two kids are the only ones that are vegan. And guess how many of the other dozen kids felt left out or bad that the foods were vegan? Well, none of them, of course. Mm-hmm. You know, the parents are curious. A couple of them are like, oh, we wish we could do this. Or, you know, that there's opportunities here that we can educate them. You know, one woman was saying, I think our newborn is lactose intolerant. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, well, all kids are lactose intolerant. And so these are great opportunities to, you know, educate these families, to let them know that we're doing it. It's not a stretch. There's plenty to eat. There's more and more options. There's more and more things coming out every day that kids love and will keep them nourished. So that's how we do it in real life. And then through Veg Week, again, as this episode airs, the pledge form will be live at vegweek.com. Through VegWeek, you could definitely send people there to say, hey, look, pledge for a week, a meat-free week, a vegan week of your life, and then check back with us. You will feel so much better about your choices. You'll feel more educated about what you're eating. You might, in fact, you know, I don't want to say this, but you could lose weight. You'll feel lighter and healthier, and you'll know you can do it. And so with the support of, as you say, the resources provided through VegWeek, this is an excellent opportunity to tell other parents and to allow them to explore what we've been talking about all year long.
Yeah, so this is the moment of the year to say, look, like, do this, please.
Yes. Right, and it's so easy to do.
Yeah, so this is a good occasion to do it. And one thing that I really like about this VegWeek campaign and thinking specifically in the context of vegan families is the research that COK has done looking at, you know, sort of how and why people change their behavior and their attitudes, beliefs, et cetera. One thing that really came out of that is when you're first sort of engaged in something, even if you're sort of positively oriented to it, you really need what's called, well, if you're in the stage of extrinsic motivation, you really need community around you. You really need like kind of support that, you know, I think about this, for example, like I would love to have like a really well decorated house, right? But I'm not going to really just do that on my own. Like I have other things going on and I don't have the confidence or the tools to say that I'm really going to be skilled at that. But, you know, if I had a group of five people who were like, all right, we're going to do some like learning about interior design and then we're going to do it. Or same goes for like, you know, you want to lose some weight or you want to run a marathon or whatever. Like there's a reason that people, you know, all do a 5K with the members of their office or whatever it is. And it's all part of the same concept, which is you're not necessarily opposed. Like you say, you know, these people that you know, say, oh, you know, I wish we could do it. Well, that's the stage that it sounds like they're in, which is this, what they need is extrinsic motivation, which means community. Yes. They need somebody to come in and say, look, we're all doing this together. We're going to be supportive. And we're like you. It's not like somebody from, you know, outside is sort of pointing a finger and saying, you better do this or else. Yeah, and you know, it's not what you want to avoid is this like foot tapping attitude. Like, come on, just catch up. Everybody needs to do it this way. What you want is a place for sort of support and camaraderie within that sort of peer group that can actually get people, you know, from the extrinsic stage ultimately to the intrinsic motivation stage. So that's what's so great about Veg Week is that it's the occasion to say, look, there are 10,000 people right now doing this, right? And every day you're going to get help and you can talk about this with people. There's social media, there's other like, you know, yeah, exactly. I'm not alone. I don't have, you know, like I have a reason to do this, like this, let's get excited about it. It's like this big virtual party. And I think specifically for families, if you can really say to people, other people like you, other families, you know, are coming in and trying this. And the nice thing about your family is like, they're your little team already, right? Like if you get everybody on board, you know, that's your community just, you know, in a mini way, you know, in your own house. So I think this is a really cool opportunity for, you know,
Yeah, you just did a great sales pitch, by the way, for how it relates so well to this podcast. Because if there's an individual in the family willing to take the pledge, willing to be the first one to say, you know what, family, we're doing it. From April 22nd through the 28th, all of our meals are going to be vegan. And then you get them to say, well, if you're feeding us, we'll eat it, right? And so that you can actually create within each of these households this this mini community of support of each other. And then know, as you say, that out there there's at least 10,000 other people doing the same thing. And so, again, with the resources that are provided through Veg Week during the entire week and before and even after that, there's incredible recipes. And so you could, within your family, say, we're going to do it this week. And guess what? There's already recipes for enchilada casserole, lasagna rolls, mac and cheese, chickpea of the sea salad, nachos, wraps, all of these things that exist already, you could literally plan your entire week right now. You know, just as soon as you hear this episode, you could say, you know what, I'm going to look at Veg Week and I'm going to commit to it for that week to take animals off our plates. And as a family, we're going to do this together. And I think that's a really interesting way to approach this, because then it doesn't matter where you live if your community maybe doesn't have other vegans that you can meet up with or that you might know in real life. It doesn't matter where you live if you take it on this sort of micro level to say, this is our family, we're doing it. Oh, and by the way, we just found out this other family's doing it. We can talk to them about this or FaceTime them during cooking or something, so that, you know, that you're creating these pockets of Veg Week community support during this
campaign. And there's always the virtual community, right? I mean, especially around Veg Week, it's, you know, it is like this big party that's going on, you know, even if it's just on your your Facebook feed or whatever.
Are you doing it? I'm doing it.
Yeah, and I think, you know, whatever people's concerns are, I think if you're just sort of trying to do this on your own and you don't feel like you're part of this broader community of support, it might feel like, oh, well, I have this barrier that's unsolvable. But there's no way that you're the only one who has, you know, X or Y barrier or concern. So being able to connect with other people who are making that transition or people who have already made that transition, I think, you know, that's what is sort of a good kind of problem solving. It helps develop a new habit. I mean, it's like, you know, going vegan is like any other habit, right? In the beginning, it feels like there's a lot of conscious effort. But then it's just like part of your life, you know, it's just like anything else. And I do think you know, it feels maybe to people who are not vegan, like this is, you know, deprivation or a lot of effort, or there's all these sort of stereotypes, but really, I mean, we're happy. We like the food that we're eating and, you know, it enhances our life, you know, and I think, and I've said this before, I think it's such a good window, especially for the kids, into ethical thinking and other topics. So, you know, the idea that like, hey, now's the time, this is a good reason to jump on board and do it. And I would love to see, you know, pictures, videos, letters written in about what the experiences of families trying to do the Veg Week pledge, especially because I would assume that different people have different levels of interest or concerns and how that all plays out over the week.
Since 1995, Compassion Over Killing has served as an unwavering force, bringing about positive changes for animals. Please consider a tax-deductible donation today. Visit COK.net for more.
You can contact, at any point, contact through Veg Week website. You can contact us at veganfamily@tryveg.com. We would love to hear from you. We would love to hear that you were coaxed into taking the Veg Pledge this year. You know, send us an email to say, I'm doing it. And any support we can offer, you know, we would love to be there for you. You know, it's, I always feel really empowered and inspired to be, whether it's official or unofficial capacity, a mentor to new vegans. And, you know, to let them know, hey, text me when you're at the store, please. You know, I've done it all. I've bought everything. Yeah. Anything that's vegan at our store, I have purchased and tried. And so if you're standing there wondering which cheese to get or which non-dairy milk to get or which, you know, vegan ice cream to get, just reach out to me. Reach out to us. I would love to support you, because that's a big part of it, is that, you know, Veg Week provides support. Each of the individuals as part of Veg Week provides support. The recipes, the sponsors, all the manufacturers who get behind this campaign, they're all here to support a great number of people to go vegan for that week.
And, you know, I mean, you can still be you and be vegan, right? So it's like not just around, you know, any other sort of touch points of your identity, but also the kind of eating that you are. So it's funny you say, oh, I like to be a mentor, you know, I do too. But, you know, I think about people texting me, oh, what about this and this? And I'm always like, it's good. It's all good, because I'll eat anything. Like, I like food.
Right.
But I think, you know, thinking about like, what's your, you know, eating personality, you can make that into a vegan version. If you're a person who really likes healthy food, if you're a person who, you know, is kind of a less adventurous eater and wants like more you know, comfort food with a lot of white flour. Like, that's cool. You know, you can make a vegan version of that. And I think making it your own and really kind of being honest about your own preferences is the way to avoid, you know, overpromising yourself. Like, you don't want to go from, you know, your standard American diet person to like the cleanest raw food vegan person overnight. You know, you can still make it about you. So I think that's part of this idea of Veg Week. It's like, do it, see what happens, run the experiment, you know, and see what works and what doesn't work, and you know, kind of adjust from there.
Yeah. Have you heard of CQ, cultural intelligence quotient?
No.
So it's sort of like a nickname or, you know, a shortening of like IQ, but it's CQ. And for the longest time, I thought we should have VQ. What is your VQ? Because you just reminded me, again, this is mostly diet-based, what I'm about to say, and veganism goes way beyond that. But, you know, what is your VQ? What's your level, or what pocket do you fit into? Or who were you before you went vegan? Because that could easily be who you are as you're vegan. So when you talked about someone who's a healthy person anyway, and they think they're making healthy food choices, but perhaps they're not because they're eating dairy and eggs and meat. That same healthy diet converts beautifully into a vegan diet. In fact, better, you know, more so. A whole foods plant-based diet is optimal for human health. So, you know, there's that level. And then there's me who, you know, I grew up with burgers and fries, and I'm still eating burgers and fries. Like, right. That's my VQ. That's where I fit into this. There's people on either end of that spectrum. There's people dead center. There's people who are raw, you know, perhaps, that are like super, super healthy. And then there's people who could possibly, is there someone who's more of a junk food vegan than me? I would love to meet them. But, you know, there's people out there who are just like, look, I'll eat anything as long as it doesn't contain animal products. That's the way I roll. And so they'll just eat as many French fries and burgers and all of that stuff as possible. But yeah, I think there's something in that to say, what's your VQ and where do you fit into this, and how easy, not really easy, but how will your diet change for the better after going vegan?
Yeah, I love that VQ idea. I mean, you know, really it's about like just still being yourself. Like, veganism is there to sort of enhance it. And I think as a family dynamic, it's interesting because, you know, when you become a parent, you're sort of called upon to think through, like, what are these values that you really want to promote and teach? And then as kids, like, you know, kids sort of, they come out with their own personalities and they teach you a million things. And then they're also sort of, you know, engaged in the world on their own terms. So, you know, everybody is going to come to the issue in their own way, and trying to sort of empower people to, A, recognize those things, and recognize, you know, how to make sort of individual differences into strengths. You know, if you're a person who, for example, doesn't want to stand on a street corner with a sign yelling at people, cool, great, you know? Right. Yeah. And if that's the perception, I mean, I think that might be the perception of, you know, sort of vegans, or maybe that's changing now. You know, so there's many, many sort of assets to that aspect of personality. And, you know, you can kind of really integrate that into your sort of veganism, but don't kind of feel like you're sort of white knuckling it and kind of holding your breath and being, right. You know.
Yeah.
But what about, okay, so what about people who kind of already are vegan and sort of activist minded and are, you know, part of a vegan family? How should they approach other vegan families and sort of pitch to them to take the Veg Week pledge?
Yeah. Well, I would first encourage them to take the pledge, as they should every year. And that's something we should be reminding everyone. Even if you're vegan, please sign up for this. While you might not need the same support that new vegans or, you know, close to vegans needs, you'll also benefit from all of the, you know, extras that pledge will get you. So yeah, I would say, you know, first and foremost, sign the Veg Pledge yourself. There is a little box that says I'm already vegan. And then, as you say, whatever level of activism you are, whether you're someone who's better in person, if you're hosting potlucks, if you're going to meetups, if you're in an office setting where there's a lot of people, let them know, hey, I signed up, you should too. This is something that we can do together. This is something I would love to support you in. Of course, all social media channels, if anyone's active on Facebook or Twitter or whatever the social media channel of choice you love using, tell people, you know, that pledge this year, pledge on April 22nd or leading up to April 22nd, and join me in this veg pledge. There's a badge you can get on Facebook for your profile picture to say I've pledged this year. And we really want to get as many people as possible on board, so that, as you say, we've built this, this virtual community that ultimately will lead to, I hope, communities in real life where, because you're reaching out to people you know to be a part of it, that connects you further to them. So that's something that you're in touch with them more often. They're asking you more questions. They're the ones who at the next potluck or the next dish to pass event say, hey, guess what? I'm bringing something vegan. They'll end up becoming very proud of their accomplishment after having gone through the Veg Pledge.
Yeah, I think Veg Week is a really good occasion to become good at cooking one really good vegan thing.
Yes,
and also exactly. And also to find out what are the cool vegan things in your area. Like, this would be a good, reason to take the family out to a vegan restaurant or bring other families with you. Or bring donuts to the workplace or to the kids' school or whatever it is, because, you're gonna get to the point where you really start understanding what day-to-day life,
would
be like and what the options out there are. And you'll start understanding why vegans get so excited about new vegan
products.
That's
exactly. And we do. That's a great point, is that as you're going through your day-to-day during the week and things come up and say, I'm going to run to the store and get something, or someone's making a lunch run, this is a perfect opportunity to say, well, that's great. This week I'm vegan. And what do they have on the menu that's vegan? So, just getting the word out, normalizing it, making it something as part of everyone's everyday is a big part of it. So, yeah.
Or on that week, lunch April run. On that lunch run, when you say, wait, I'm vegan, you should say also, pledge with me, we'll get something vegan together.
There you go. Always asking for the pledges. So April 22nd through the 28th is the 2019 Veg Week. The Veg Pledge form is open. Please go to vegweek.com, fill out the form, check out last year's videos and sponsors as we build onto that platform for this year's videos and sponsors and recipes and endorsers. It's an exciting campaign, and I hope everyone listening decides to pledge.
Yeah, and what's fun about looking at the old Veg Weeks too is to see all these people who've pledged for Veg Week in the past, and that was the reason that they stayed veg.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, I know. There's a lot of people who say, I did it that first week and I stuck to it, and a year later I'm still vegan, and now I'm trying to get my, friends to go vegan. So, yeah, it's definitely the kind of campaign and thing we want to have spread quickly. So, well, great episode as always, Cheryl. Thanks, everyone, for tuning in. Email us at veganfamily@triveg.com. We really want to hear from you, so let us know what you think, what you're thinking, what episodes you might want to hear. If you have any special guest ideas, we're going to start doing some episode with some guests. So thanks for tuning in. Cheryl, always a pleasure. Take care, and be sure to pledge for Veg Week.
Yeah, and send us all of your Veg Week audio files, videos, photos, recaps, vegan kids, non-vegan kids who tried to be vegan, parents. Send us it all.
We want to see it. So thanks for tuning in, and we'll see you next time.